أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، My dear brother and sister in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we have some topics, and inshallah we need to start with one at a time, inshallah.
What is the purpose of the rules and regulations?
What is the purpose of rule and regulation? Sometimes people complain and they said Islam is too tough. It's too much regulation. Too much rules. Why? And sometimes we forget we are a slave, a servant of the Creator. The Creator is the owner, he's the master, and we just a slave. And the Creator has wisdom over the regulation, meaning he give us all this ruling and all this regulation for what? And this will bring another topic. Why?
The secret wisdom of worship and ruling, and the secret of the five times Salah and the rest of worship.
Okay. What happened is, sometime we try to understand. Some of this ruling and some of this regulation, sometime it makes sense, sometime for some other it doesn't make sense. And sometimes we feel like, what is the wisdom behind it? What is the wisdom behind fasting? What is the wisdom behind five-time praise? What's the wisdom behind Hajj? Each one of this has a wisdom. But before we go to them, we have to understand the main principle of how the Creator do things with us. And we will give an example. You're working for a company. You have a manager. And the manager, he wants to test his worker. What he does? He can send a certain command and a certain regulation. It might not feel to some people really make sense. What's the wisdom behind it? The wisdom behind it is to see the status of the obedience. It might be in a hidden agenda, meaning he gives a rule, he gives a regulation, but the intention not really to fulfill this rule, but the intention is to see who will obey completely blindly. And this will show the president who is among the worker a true, you know, obedience to him. And to Allah the high example. Sometimes some people said, why? Five times pray, too much. Or we do this is too much. Or why is this rule? What's the purpose behind it? It doesn't make sense. But actually in the hidden of what you call it doesn't make sense is actually the main sense, which we call it the hidden wisdom of Allah for his own ruling, to test our obedience. Allah do not need our fasting. Allah do need our worship. He have angels worship day and night. But what is it? It is a state of obedience. Sometimes if you go to Hajj, you ask yourself, why this Jamarat? Or why I make seven time tawaf? Why it is seven? By this way, some of the regulation for you with the power of intellect might say why. But actually, the main wisdom behind it is the missing why, or the missing answer. Sometimes a husband or a wife can give a certain want or a desire from the husband or a wife. And this want might be doesn't really make sense, but to test the closeness, to test the connection. By this way, the really topic is obedience. Because the whole thing in this life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test a status of obedience. This is the whole thing all about. Because your own servanty, your own slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the obedience. And this why is a verse in Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said of the meaning of, and actually it is the half of the verse, and we make you fitna, a trial to each other. Do you will be patient, or you will be patient? And Allah is all seeing, Allah all knowing. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's all seen. By this way, when somebody asks, or even shaitan, sometimes the devil come and ask, why we pray five times? It's too much. Or why we wake up at Fajr time? Why we do this? Why we do that? What is the main benefit? We will find out in Islam is a lot of ruling has some benefit, seen benefit. This is what we call it, seen benefit, known benefit. And you have a lot of ruling, unknown benefit. And actually the highest level of the ruling of the unknown benefit. We will never know the real benefit and wisdom of Allah behind it. And actually, the main wisdom and benefit is in the obedience. Because at this time, it will show sincerity. Sincerity hidden in the obedience. This is why, if you do good to somebody, do bad, is very difficult. But it shows again obedience. Obedience to whom? To Allah. To be good to somebody good is easy, but to be good to somebody is bad to you is difficult, very difficult. And this is the main wisdom behind it. Do you really swallow it just for Allah, or you will just become arrogant? Once you become a little bit arrogant, you lost what? Servanty. You lost slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this way, in Islam, we have to know some of the rules and regulation. We know some of the benefit and wisdom behind it. But the majority is we do not know. Only Allah knows. It is what you call it hidden benefit and wisdom. Why? To test our obedience.
The secret behind Surah Al-Fatiha.
And this why Surah Al-Fatiha, one scholar, which is the first chapter in Quran, one scholar, he wrote actually four volume books. The four volume books actually not written for Surah Al-Fatiha, it written for one verse only from Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Because he say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent many books, many revelation, many messages. And He summarized it in Zabur, Torah, Injil, and Quran. This is the main four scripture. And this four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarized it in Al-Qur'an. And Al-Qur'an, the whole revelation, has been summarized in Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha has been summarized in one verse. This is why Surah Al-Fatiha has another name. Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. Imagine one chapter, only seven verse, and this seven verse, okay, is actually containing everything in this book, which is the book of Quran. This is why some scholar can give you Surah Al-Fatiha in volume after volume and just to give you the understanding of it. And now, this scholar, he wrote this four volume, not only for Surah Al-Fatiha, only for two verses inside Surah Al-Fatiha. And he said, the whole deen of Islam for only these two verses. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you, Allah, we worship, and only you, Allah, we seek guidance and help and support. And this was the whole thing all about. Now,
what's the difference between the rules for men and women?
What's the difference between the rule and regulation for men and women? You see, this is one of the another wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometime today, some women complain. Some men complain. Allah ruling to me is different than Allah ruling to men. Again, is a hidden wisdom. The same topic we talk about it. Who's the master? Who's the ruler? Who's the Rabb? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master, He's the ruler, I have to be number one, said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and we obey. This is number one. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and we obey. But sometimes, and this was the main thing all about, sometimes we do not like it. What we don't like? We do not like the obedience. And again, this show me the status of my slavery and my status of my iman, faith between me and Allah. And this was the whole Islam all about. How much we submit. How much we surrender. How much we really try. And this was the whole thing all about. The whole life is all about how much we really try to reach out the level of complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Do we own anything or is it a trust?
Yes. What happened is, when we look today to many problems in our life, what's the main problem? The main problem is, sometimes we feel like we own something. The husband said, I own my wife. The wife, I own my husband. Every person said, I own something. And this owning drive people nuts. And drive people against each other. And if we really think about it, what I own? What I own? I own my body? No. I own my wife, my kids? No. I own anything? No. I own anything in this life? No. We're running after owning, and we forget we're leaving. And we're never going to get anything of what we think we own, because in the reality, we do not own. And this is a trust. Because we do not own is a trust. My body is a trust. My money is a trust. My health is a trust. My time is a trust. Husband and wife is a trust. Kids is a trust. And it will be a question about every trust. How we deal with it according to the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah will ask us, how much you take care about my trust by my own ruling? Oh Allah, I have this problem. Allah said, okay, you try to solve it by my own ruling. If you try to solve it by my own ruling, you will have that. No problem. But our problem is, we forget it's just a trust, and we start trying to accumulate and own, which we do not own nothing. Actually, the only thing we own is a connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not own, is a tawfiq, is an ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to our desire and trying.
Where are we going?
And this leads us, where are we going? Why I use this word? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say it in Quran, where are we going? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Because if we remember where we're going, we're going to the grave. We're going to the hereafter. We're going to be questioned about everything we think we own. We're going to leave it and we're going to be questioned about it.
The absence of role models in the environment and why.
Why we have all this topic getting confused? Because we misunderstand what is going on. And we lost the goal and where we're going. And why? Because we have no role model. And we do not have the right environment. But why we do not have the right role model and the right environment? This brings another question. Why? Because we have no desire to have the right model and right environment. Because as a human being, we always look and reach for what we desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it clear in many areas in Quran, especially in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who are a struggle for me, I will show them guidance. Do we try to see who our role model, our qudwa? Do we really reach for the right environment? We really try?
The absence of sincerity, truth, what's the difference? Where are we going?
Okay, again, this leads us to another question. The absence of sincerity, the absence of truth, and where are we going? Why everything become like foggy to us? Why we cannot see where we're going? We become like we're going in a dark road without no light. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us to give us the light for those who want light. But what happened today, we do not get the right light. Why we do not get the right light? Because we not acquire it. And we not inquire it. Because if we really want the light, Allah will give us the light. But because the heart is sick, we do not have real sincerity. We do not have real truth between us and Allah. If I'm truthful to Allah, 99% of my problem does not exist. I have no problem. My main problem, if I go to the grave and I was not a real servant of Allah, this is my problem.
Obedience is a sign of love, and love is shown by obedience.
MashaAllah. You see, a human being driven by love, and love make human being be driven. Meaning the real energy of a human being is love. When you love something, you really struggle for it. And this why. If you look to the whole Islam, the highest level of obedience is love. Because according to the level of love, you will be obedient. And according to obedience, you will reach love. If you obey Allah more, Allah will love you more. And if you love Allah more, Allah will love you more. They work hand to hand. Somebody opened a question long time ago. Which one go first? Me loving Allah first and Allah love me second? Or Allah love me first and I will love him second? Now this goes step by step. Who created us? Allah. Allah is a creator. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, wonder what happened. He should give us all his gift around us. And he tell us, is all the gift around you, including yourself, number one, is not enough? Is not enough to recognize who am I? And not enough to recognize how much I gifted you? And sometimes we lose that. Why we lose it? When it is complete sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Quran, in one verse of the meaning of, we will show them our signs. And in themselves, until it become clear to them, it is the truth. You see, if I'm truthful to Allah, I will see His bounty and I will see His giving. And if I see His giving and I see His bounty, I will recognize it. And if I'm truthful and obedient and humble and humility to Allah, I have to give Him thanks. How you give Him thanks? By obedience. Why you obey? Because you recognize it. And once you recognize it and you start obedience, meaning you have a start is the status of love. And once you start the status of love, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you.
Giving according to the level of love and obedience.
Today we have sometime people, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, sometime, they complain, why I'm poor, why Allah do not give me this, why the creator do this to me, I do not have but he has, and she has, and she... And we start looking to each other and compare. And we have no content. We do not like what we have. By this way, instead of appreciating what we have, we look to other what they have, and we feel miserable because I want to be like him. At this moment, they call it the state of kufr. What kind of kufr? Kufr of ni'mah. Kufr of giving. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, I give you equal to what you need. But sometimes said, oh, I have disease, I don't have this, I do not have that. And I start calculating how many I do not have and somebody else have. Why? Again, is a blindness. Because sometimes we look to again a material status. Do you know your level in paradise? Do you know what Allah give you in heavens? Do you know the level of love from Allah to you? Do you know how many Allah sends you did and Allah forgive you? Do you know how many purity Allah give you in your heart? You might see somebody more wealthy than you. He live in a palace, but you do not know his status in hellfire. Like one of the messenger in the early days, he was going in towards the sea. When he see a fisherman, he threw his net to the sea. And every time he threw his net to the sea, he come out, some weed, some rocks, no fish. And he thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He go to another man, and before he said that, he said, Bismillah, by the name of Allah, and he throws a net. And he get nothing. And the another man, he said, by the name of Shaitan, by the name of the devil. And the net coming full of fish. And the man is happy. This messenger, he goes talking to Allah. Oh Allah, I see something I do not know. He said, what you see is you see only the material part, but you do not see the part I save for each one of them. The one who said Bismillah, I give him nothing to test him. And inside his heart, he's content. And he's happy with some weeds and some rocks. And he go home and have a piece of bread and he eat with his wife and they're very happy. Look, and he revealed to him his palace in paradise. The messenger was very shocked. He told him, now let me show you in another hand. The one who said with the name of the devil. And he get a lot of fish. And he making money. And he live in luxury. He show him his place in hellfire. He said, oh Allah, I never understand your wisdom. And this part of our, like I said in the beginning, the hidden wisdom of Allah.
Different kinds of giving, earthy giving and highly giving.
MashaAllah. Why? Because our giving is two kinds of giving to us. We have a material status and we have non-material status. Some scholars in the early days, you call it earthy giving and highly giving. What the earthy giving? What the highly giving? For example, if Allah give you money, give you wealth, give you a status of life, give you status between you and people, give you everything you think you really need and like, and in meantime, he did not give you tawfiq to be a good Muslim or to be a good servant and do good deed and go between people with good deed. What we call that? We call it the things as a provision. The things as a material in this life, call it earthy giving. Because you will never accumulate. He will give it to you and you will be questioned about it. In other hand, you have another giving. He make your heart connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He give you faith. He build you with faith. He make you always with him. Remember him. Do good deed. Try to reach to be able to do good deed. No wonder what happened. This good deed, what it will do to you? It will elevate you. By this way, the unseen material giving is a highly. Why? It connects you to Allah. It elevates you. And also, it connects you to different level in paradise. It connects you to different level in Jannah. Make you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your soul be closer to the status of angels. Because you're not material anymore. You're not like animal. And this is a difference. And this why? Because the blindness in our eyes, we're running after material. And we're not running after the real giving by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The sign of obedience, worship, thanks, and contentment, and the opposite, which is discontent, no thanks, no appreciation, no recognition, blindness, state of kufr.
Yes. What happened is, according to my faith, according to my belief in my Creator, according to my recognizing how the Creator is really the giver and the only supporter in everything. Wonder what happened. This will elevate me to what? To be always in a status of content. To be in a status of thanks. You see? In another hand, if I do not recognize the giver and the giving by the Creator, wonder what happened. I will be in the opposite. I do not like my status. I do not like what's going on. I start dislike. Dislike actually a state of kufr. Dislike or not content with the status of your life or status of the material status, it put you in a state of kufr. They call it kufr al-ni'am, the kufr of ni'amah. And this especially very common between women. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went Isra and Mi'raj, when he went to the journey, the episode with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he saw, he called Jibreel alayhi salam, Angel Jibreel, and said, I saw the majority of hellfire is woman. And when he came down, the companion, and he gave him the story, the companion asked him, yeah, why ya Rasulullah? Why the majority of people in hellfire is woman? He said, because the status of disbelief. A man came and asked him, oh Rasulullah, they disbelieve in Allah? He said, no. But you live with them and you do everything for them. And when you make one mistake, they dislike anything you say, you give, and they said, we never see goodness from you. And this we call it kufr al-ni'am, the disbelief of gift. Because sometimes we misunderstand. Even our life, even the people we deal with, is a gift from Allah. We like it or we don't. Even with all the mistakes going on, it's still. Because sometimes even we do not understand the wisdom. Sometimes a mistake in our personality and our fault is actually a gift for a reason. Because if we understand destiny, we'll understand everything is planning according to Allah well for a hidden message. And this hidden message, if we content, we will start understanding. This is really the real essence of Islam. The more you content, the more you will be elevated, the more Allah will give you vision, basira. In the opposite way, if you do not content, you're not content with what? A condition? Who's the owner of condition? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this way, the status of not content is actually not contending with Allah, not with a person. Because if you really understand destiny and what is going on in our life, we do not own nothing. Even condition, we do not own. My father, may Allah give him mercy, I argue with him when I was a young boy. And I tell him, I do not understand it. He tell me, I give you an example. You're leaving from home. You're going somewhere. All of a sudden, somebody was open something in the road, or a hole or something. Your feet go in it. It twisted. It broke. He said, this destiny, because you do not own anything on it. Or in it. You do not mean it. You do not go with the intention you won't break your leg. But you're going with the intention whatever. You feel the benefit is what are you going to do. Allah, tick. He said, what Allah waiting from you? The first moment after this broken, what you going to say? If you really believe in Allah, the first moment what you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, thank you for what you... Because from Allah. Some people start screaming and get upset. What about where I'm going? What I done? Who opens the hole? Who caused it? Oh. And start questioning many topics, which actually the topic is not the topic. Because when you go back to it in a few minutes and think, it's from Allah. Nobody can really prevent something. And nobody can harm you without the will of Allah. And nobody can benefit you without the will of Allah. If you calculate this in your heart, you return everything to Allah in the right time, not after a while. And this is what varies the status of slavery and servitude to Allah between each one of us. And this is a real trial. When Allah give and when Allah take, what we going to do and how we going to react. And this is a real servitude. This is a real worship. Some people think worship only is 5 times salah, fasting, this and that. No. 5 times salah is designed just to help us to remember where we're going. Who is the creator? To connect us every time we forget. This is one of the main purpose in salah, to benefit us. But the real benefit is between each salah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ لَمْ تَنَاوْ صَلَاتُهُ عَلَى الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاتَ لَهُ. Whoever makes salah and it will not prevent him from bad deed, is no salah for him. And another hadith of the meaning of when some of the companions came complaining about a woman, she was fasting all day, praying all night, but she has a bad tongue. The Prophet said, هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلُ جَهَنَّمْ. She is among the Jahannam, the hellfire people. Why? Because worship people today, even among us as a Muslim, we misunderstand. The worship is not a state of the moment. The servanty is not 5 minutes salah. No, the servanty from the time I know who is my creator until I die and go to him. My whole life. This why in Surah Al-An'am, verse 161-162, it will explain it to you. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاةً نعم تمام قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي. This is the first verse. I'm going to the second verse. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قِيَمًا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. After that, the second verse, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my pray, وَنُسُكِي, and my way of worship, وَمَحْيَايَ, and my life, and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All to do or toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not committing partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this way, we learn is, or we have to be in a status of complete servanty to Allah. 24 hours, 7 days a week, until we die. And this reality actually. But this again, whom is a struggle. You try and you fail, you try and you fail and try again.
Why do some people get closer and others apart? How do we know the difference of nafs?
What happened is, according to the status of purity inside, and according to the status of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the status of soul, not the status of body. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not care about the status of our body. It is the status of our soul. The status of purity and sincerity. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained this very nicely. He said, "Al arwahu junudun mujannada." Soul are like soldiers get together. ما تآلف منها اقترب وما اختلف منها او ما تنافر منها اختلف. The nafs or the soul, the pure one get together, and the bad one and the sick ones also get together. You find certain people love certain people, and certain people get disattracted from certain people, and you wonder why. One scholar, he wrote something very beautiful. He said, you can act in a certain way. I can act in a certain way. I can be a liar. You can be a liar. But who really sees the difference? Our soul seeing each other. Our soul cannot lie. You see, we can lie as a human being. Soul by itself, they see each other in a regular format. This is why sometimes you meet people and you get closer. And you don't even know why. And sometimes you meet people and you get apart. Your heart, he said, my heart is contract. I do not feel good. And even sometimes you wonder why. The heart in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not own the heart. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his hand and said, oh Allah, I try to do justice of what you give me. But please forgive me for what you do not give me, which is the status of the heart. You cannot love everybody in your life is the same. You cannot love even your own children in the same level exactly. This is something you cannot own. Love is something you cannot own. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find some people used to love and dislike. Or used to get closer and get apart. It's from Allah. For something Allah only know. Either a trial or something sick. Three, 4 days ago, I was talking to someone, and this someone has a problem with some person, and they asked me to make dua for me. I swear by Allah, it happened. Is it true? I get up, I make 2 rak'ah to Allah. I ask Allah to give me the truth. I saw the person. I talk with the person. I get to know the person. The following day, I called the person. I said, is so-and-so look like that? He said, yes. This person was acting as a Muslim, but he's a Jewish. But he's acting up. And he has a big name, but I cannot mention it. He has a big title. Anyway, what happened? I do not want anything from nobody. My request was humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you try really for Allah, Allah give you vision. Only you have to be pure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give you vision. If you even confuse about certain personality, make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give me vision. If you're really honest. You see, if you're honest, you always return to Allah. If you're honest, you always return to Allah. You do not return to your own nafs. You return to Allah. And wonder what happened. When you meet other, you will meet and love others, the one who are in a state level like you. It doesn't matter the state of sins. No, it is a state of heart. I see it lately. Some people might be looking like, mashallah, very good bias, going back and forth to the masjid. But a lot of sickness inside the heart. And they have a lot of blindness inside the heart. Why? Something hidden in the heart. Allah only know. In other hand, you see some people very simple. They do not worship Allah enough. But they have purity to Allah. And you find out their heart is pure. How you know it? When you get to know them. They're very simple people. They do not have a hidden agenda. Because the Muslim have no hidden agenda. Only the person with shayateen have a hidden agenda. And always have hiding something. We do not have that. If I'm really a servant of Allah, what kind of hidden agenda I have? What kind? There's nothing in life to be hidden. Once I hide something, something is wrong. May Allah save us and give us vision, basira.
The sick and the pure, how do we deal with each one?
MashaAllah. Now we're talking about some people are sick, some people more cure, and some people more pure. How we deal with that? We go back to verse 20. Surah Al-Furqan. Which is actually the half part of this verse. It's a trial. It's a trial for each other. This difference has to be all the time until the day of judgment. Good and evil, good and bad. Angel and evils. What's the wisdom behind it? To Allah test us and test our purity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Test our sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Test our really servanty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us in anything in our life without rule and regulation, how we deal with it. If I'm really honest to Allah, why I do not return the topic to Allah? Like I was sitting in one place a couple of weeks ago, and one scholar was saying something very nice. He said, the trial of difference between us as a people is to show the real honest from the true hypocrite. Hypocrite and honest will show up in the time of trial. Because Allah make it clear. When you have a situation or a debate or any situation, return it to Allah. Allah will give you the answer. But the hypocrite will not return to Allah. The hypocrite will hold the topic in his own hand and do whatever he likes. But the real Muslim, the real one really connecting to Allah, he will return to Allah and ask, oh Allah, give me guidance, show me the way, tell me what to do. And he will follow the command and the teaching of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The absence of sunnah.
MashaAllah. The absence of sunnah. You see why? Because how we can live our life without the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see it today. If you're really a Muslim experience or exercising Islam, you will see it. The more you know the sunnah, the more you become really human being. The more you know how to deal with people. Because who's our teacher? The Prophet. Who's the one Allah give him all the teaching? The Prophet. How we deal with each other in different situations? By the teaching of the Prophet, which called it Sunnah. By this way, if I do not know the Sunnah, and I do not calculate the Sunnah in our life, how I can implement it? How I can implement that? How I can have good manner when I do not know? Because the high manner was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this way, how I deal with any topic if I do not know what the sunnah is? If I'm honest, even if I do not have it, please, can you tell me what the teaching of the Prophet in this topic? Can you tell me how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want me to deal with it? If I'm honest, very simple. But how many people ask for that today? Very few. Very few. 4 or 5 days ago, I start one dua. What is the dua? I said, oh Allah, if you bringing fitna, a trial, tribulation to this earth, oh Allah, take my soul. Take my soul before you give me the fitna. Because lately a lot of blindness between people, even among Muslims, a lot of blindness. Where is the blindness coming from? It's from Allah. Where is the blindness coming from? Why Allah give me a blindness? Because something sick inside. And most of it is arrogant. Arrogant is one of the diseases can destroy you. Destroy between you and Allah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will not allow anybody to enter paradise with a dot of kibr, with a dot of arrogance. Dot. Imagine the hadith of the meaning dot. One scholar in early Islam, almost 900 years ago, he said, what I do if I have a dot? And he used to cry. He used to cry so heavily, afraid he have a dot of kibr. Today, if you ask anybody, you have a kibr? He said, no. You have hypocrisy? I said, no. Everybody today has no kibr, no hypocrisy, no nothing. Everybody, mashallah, pure. And Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he was afraid. He's a hypocrite. One of the very, very high status Muslim in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually the second man after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the second Khalifa. Imagine, he's crying after the Prophet died and he said, oh Hudhaifa, tell me, if the name of hypocrite the Prophet give you is I'm among them. Look who he is and he wonder if he's a hypocrite or not. And today, I have no hypocrite, I have no arrogant, I have no any disease. Everybody's sick except me. This is the maximum sickness I can have. Because when I study the companion life, I find out they always blame themselves. But today I find out we always blame others. But I never blame myself. And this is the status of the ultimate arrogant. Because actually, if I have a little bit of humble, I said, what I did? Maybe it is me. Maybe it is my fault. And I always return my fault to me. I try. Nobody's angels, but I try. I have to keep trying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like one scholar, he said it, Allah do not want perfect from you. Allah wants you state of trying. Because state of trying is state of sincerity. You will never be perfect, never. But the honest, sincere one is the one who try. Just try. Even if you fall down, try. This is what Allah wants. Allah wants us to keep trying to reach out. By this way, there's no way out unless I follow the Sunnah. There's no way.
The absence of light.
The absence of light. The absence of light is the absence of Sunnah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, one of the attributes of Allah is light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent light. What is the light? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sent with him light, is the Quran. Light after light after light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. We send you a light from Allah and a book from Allah. A scholar said, a nur from Allah in earth, a light from Allah in earth is a prophet. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet and he teach him all the ultimate manner, which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this way, if I do not have the teaching of a prophet in my life, I do not have light. As in many verse about that. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadiran wa da'ina ila Allah bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. The last wording in this verse, wa sirajan munira. And you are illuminated. Illuminate candle. Why? Because he's having what he have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why today if you look at each other, what's the status of iman according to sunnah? Not how to memorize it, how much you're reading, how much you implement, how much you're trying.
The word of the Prophet from our life, from our thoughts, from our heart.
You see, and this is what we want. Where is the word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The word of the Prophet is light. The word of the Prophet is light. is wisdom. And there are many evidence about it from Quran and Sunnah. This light and wisdom, if it's absent from my heart, absent from my life, absent from my mind, absent from the way I do things in my life, where am I? Tell me, where am I? I will be in darkness. Because if I do not have the teaching of the Prophet in my life, who is my teacher? The devil. Who I'm following is the devil. Shaitan. Who's whispering to me? The devil. You see, if you follow the Sunnah, automatically you will find something very beautiful. Every time you have a problem or you have any topic in your life, you will ask, what the Prophet advised me about that? Let me read what he said. Let me find out what he advised me to do. Imagine if I'm a Muslim and I'm not seeking the Prophet ﷺ advice, what kind of Muslim am I? You will see in Quran many, many verses about obedience to Allah is joined by the obedience of the Prophet. Loving of Allah is joined by the love of the Prophet. Seeking Allah's guidance is joined by obedience of the Prophet. Always, always. By this way, once we miss one, we cannot reach the other. And if we do not reach it, what happens? We have a state of emptiness. The state of emptiness will never be empty. The devil will take over. What he will do? Whispers. Waswasa. Making thought. Keep talking. Give you the disease. Open all kind of topic. Make you busy of something, destroy you. And destroy your time, and destroy others, and destroy everything. And at this time, you will be a soldier of shaitan. Because in any time, either I'm a soldier of Allah, or I'm a soldier of shaitan, according to what I'm doing.
The presence of darkness, devils, and whispers.
Yeah, we talk about.
The diseases of the heart. What's the cure? The word of the Prophet, and why?
You see, once we are in the darkness, and with shaitan, shaitan will fulfill our heart with disease. With disease, we talk about it. Envy, jealousy, hate, blindness, not content, look to each other what we have and what we do not have, a championship of material, arrogant, ignorant, stingy, is almost 66 diseases of the heart. 66 diseases of the heart has been written in some book. Imagine if my heart full of this disease, what do you think, who am I? And where I'm going? This is why one scholar, he wrote a verse in Quran that said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. In a day, it will not be benefit to me, my money or my kids, except those who are coming to Allah with a pure heart. He was crying from this verse for 12 years. He left everything and he said, how I meet Allah if I have my heart is diseased? And he keep crying to Allah, ask Allah to cure his heart. Because the only one can cure your heart is Allah. But why Allah will cure my heart if I believe I do not have a problem? This is the ultimate problem. The ultimate problem to feel I have no problem. This is the ultimate blindness. This is the ultimate, really, far away from Allah. Because a Muslim always in the status is, I have a problem. I'm really bad. I'm desperate to reach out. I'm trying to clear. But the hypocrite and disbeliever, they always blame everybody, even Allah. But they do not blame themselves. I'm serious. You find people blame even Allah. Why Allah do this? Why the Creator do this to me? What I done? You know? But he never said, what about me? Why I cannot reach?
Why do we complain about sitting in a gathering like this? And where's the problem? And what's the solution?
I heard last week, I was doing a tape about Hajj and people complain you know, is too long. And I said, subhanAllah, we can sit in the TV for many hours, no problem. We can go to the mall for many hours, no problem. We can be in the kitchen for many hours, no problem. We can do many, many stupid things, no problem. We can read a stupid magazine for many hours, newspaper, no problem. We can sit gossip and backbiting and namima and ghaiba and everything else can lead to us to hellfire, no problem. But once we sit in a gathering like that, all of a sudden, he's taking too long, what he want, why he make us sitting like that, it's too much. You see, how many times we sit in a class to study a stupid topic which is not benefit to us in the hereafter. And we go for class after class, for year after year, hour after hour, and do homework. Why? Again, it is very high state of blindness. Because if you know what is benefit and what harm, you will know which gathering you like to sit in it and which gathering you do not like to sit in it. This is majlis of malaika. This is a sitting of angels. This is a sitting will be witness to us, inshallah, not against us. This is a witness can maybe, inshallah, give us some vision and some understanding about what's going on. It can lead us to where we're going.
Misunderstanding the road.
Misunderstanding the road. Yes, we misunderstand the road. Where are we going? Which road? Let's take a moment to think about the road and we come back, inshallah.
Stop that for a moment.
Why we miss the road? Is this a question? Why you miss the road? Is this a question?
Misunderstanding the road.
Misunderstanding the road. Why we misunderstand the road? You see, we ask this question 2 or 3 times. I wonder if anybody during this time think about it. Why we misunderstand the road? What is the road? Do we know what the road? Is anybody can say to me now, what is the road? Because if we know what's the road, we know why we miss it. Do you know what is the road?
Good deed.
What is the road? It's a very simple question, believe me. Everybody talk about it. What is the road? What should be our road? You know, today, with all respect to you, I find the majority who understand the road is a new Muslim. Not the original Muslim, the new Muslim, they understand the road. Not right away, after a while. Why? Because when you live in a misconception, when you live in an illusion, when you live unknown life, when you live in a wonder without no goal, and all of a sudden you became a Muslim, all of a sudden you will recognize the road. What is the road? We have only one road. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, we say it in Surah Al-Fatiha every time we make salah. Guide us to the straight path. And imagine we do not know. Now, what is the straight path? The straight path is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants from us. It is the role of Allah, is the pleasure of Allah, is the obedience of Allah, is getting closer to Allah. What is the road? The road to Jannah, the road to paradise, the road to the mercy of Allah, by His way, why we miss the road when we misunderstand where we're going? This is why every once in a while I ask, where are we going? Because imagine you do not know where you're going and you do not know your road. What do you think? What is the outcome of that? What's the outcome of that? The outcome is the wrong direction or the wrong destination. After death, we have only two destinations, either Jannah, Paradise, or Hellfire. And also, even if we're going to Jannah, Jannah has many thousands of levels. Darajat, which level I'm going to go with or going in it. Because some scholar summarize everything in Islam in three words. No one will reach Jannah or Jannah, which is Paradise, without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody will pass from the Sirat, from the bridge over the hellfire, without the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we going to be resident in Paradise according to our good deed, or according to our deed in this life. By this way, if I'm really a servant of Allah and a slave of Allah, I will ask where I'm going. And should be in the front of my eyes, in the front of my heart. I always want to know where I'm going. I always worry about this topic. If I'm honest, I should be in a state of worry. Where I'm going. Every aspect in my life, I should worry where I'm going. Every moment I should worry where I'm going. Every day I should ask myself, is this day will be for me or against me? I gain today or I lost today? Because every day either I gain it or I lose it. And it will never come back. They call it the dead day. The finished. Like I always remind myself first and remind others. Yesterday is a past, nothing I can do about it. Bad deed or good deed? If it's good deed, I do not know if Allah accept or not. And if it's bad deed, I do not know if Allah will forgive me or not. And the past, the future, in the hand of Allah, I do not know what is hidden. If Allah give me the right path or not, the only thing I own is the present. And this is why one of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and teaching of the Prophet and the companion is every day before you sleep, you ask Allah to forgive your sins and you repent, and also to make tawbah to others. If you commit any mischief to others, if you commit any zulm to others, you try to please other to make sure you do not sleep in a state of oppression. But how many times we really worry about that? And there's many evidence from Quran and Sunnah about one of the most beautiful deed you can do when you really live and sleep every night in a state of not oppressing somebody. I remember my father, may Allah give him mercy in his grave, he used to tell me, Ahmed, sleep as oppressed, but do not sleep as an oppressor. Because if you please sleep as an oppressor, you will be cursed, you will be malun. You never know what will happen. You might die in this state. And sometimes we forget that. You see how many times we forget, and how many times we remember. Imagine if we forget all the right way and we remember all the bad way. What left? What left? Today you find a Muslim or supposed to be a Muslim, but the status of mind and heart is almost like non-Muslim. Only you worry about accumulation and accumulating dunya. Only about material. Nobody worry about what he's going or where he's going. And doesn't mean the people is not a sinner. This is what happened. This is a blindness of shaitan. People worship, make salah, do dhikr, reading Quran, fasting, do hajj, everything. But you have the tongue is bad. They oppress other. You find this in Egypt very much. A lot of hajji. And they said, I'm hajji. And mashallah, they do a lot of mischief. And they do hajj every day, every year. Like hajj, mashallah, you know, is a green light to paradise. And they forget. Hajj is a tawbah. You should, after hajj, ask yourself what I did. You have to prepare yourself before hajj. And you have to be ready to come back from hajj, asking Allah, you're not going to do what I did before, if you're really honest. My father, may Allah give him mercy, he was crying, and he did not want to do hajj. All his life he did not want to do hajj. Imagine why he did not want to do hajj. He was afraid. He was afraid he going to do hajj, and he come back, and he do sins. Subhanallah. A person he afraid so much of doing hajj, and after that make one mistakes. And people make hajj like going to Walt Disney. And come back and like nothing happened. And even we see it, you know, me and Fahd last year. Even before they left Mecca, they already fight each other. It's really bad. Is this really the state of hajj? Same thing, I find people do not make salah. I ask, why you do not make salah? He said, I dealt with so-and-so who makes salah, and he steal this money from me, and he did this, and he did this. I do not like the people who make salah. And becomes a person who makes salah, he become like a bad dealer. Why? Because he not respecting his own salah. How many people give commitment of time, and they never commit for the time? This is a sign of hypocrite. The sign of a Muslim, when he make an appointment, he kept it. His word and his timing and everything is very legitimate. Why? It's ahd. But people play game and start playing game with word. Why? Because he missed the road. Whether الذين اتخذوا دينهم لعبا ولهوا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا. Leave those who make their own religion and their own way of life a joke, a joking manner or matter, and they do not worry about it. And the dunya is taking them, put them instead of illusion. This is what happened to us. And all of a sudden, the person is dead. And it's finished. And we know it deep down, nobody knows who's going to live. And we're still doing what we're doing. What kind of blindness more than that? To know we can die any moment and still doing what we're doing. It's not the state of a Muslim. No, Allah. I'm saying it very honest. The state of Muslim, you see, it's big difference between a sinner and a state of sins. People misunderstand that. You see, a Muslim can make sins, no problem, because he's a human being. We have to make sins, but not living in a state of sins. Meaning, I make sins, but I ask Allah to forgive me. I wake up, I remember. And Allah prescribes the believer in Quran, those who are, if they make sins, or shaitan whisper to them, and you remind them, they will remember. And say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Oh Allah, forgive me. This is a true believer. But the hypocrite will turn away and say, no, I didn't do anything. Today, even you see it in the state of masajid. May Allah forgive us. This is why, again and again, I ask Allah to take me. I'm serious, wallah. I ask Allah to take me. Oh Allah, take me as soon as possible. Tonight before morning. Why? The blindness increase. The state of blindness increase. Nobody see what's going on. And why? because nobody even wants to see. You see, Allah will never put you in a state of blind like that unless you have sickness inside. And the sickness inside because you're not a servant of Allah. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. You see those who are embracing their own Lord as themself, or making their own self as their Lord. This is what happened to the majority of people, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. This is why you asked me many weeks ago about, is the state of Islam is just a word and that's it? No. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a state of obedience, a state of servanty. Why? Because we have a road to go. We have a destination to reach. I'm not belong to myself. I'm a servant of Allah. I'm a slave to Allah. I want to reach. And my job is to try. And tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The absence of knowledge and the right understanding, what's the cure?
Somebody said, what is the ending of all this talk? And what we can benefit from it? The absence of the right knowledge. The absence of the right knowledge. And the absence of the right understanding. Somebody said, what is the right knowledge? And what is the right understanding? The right knowledge is the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge, who's Allah? Because today we forget even who's Allah. Sometimes I think about it, if I know the name of Allah, Allah is Shaheed, Allah is Shahid, is really I'm worried about it. Allah is Basir, Allah is all seen, Allah is all watcher, Allah is all hearing, Allah with me, where I'm going, Allah is the owner. Where am I? And where I'm going? Who I'm fooling? Who I'm playing game with? By this way, if I know really who's Allah, a lot of action I do, it will not be there. Unless, again, I'm a liar, or a hypocrite, or a disbeliever. And this is what's going on today. Because what's the difference between a Muslim and a hypocrite? A Muslim is the one submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can make mistakes. He can make sins. But he asks Allah to repent and forgive. Forgiveness. But the hypocrite is a Muslim who believes in Allah. He believes in the messenger. But when a time coming to tell him obey, he will not obey. Why? Allah described it in Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. In their heart is a disease. Allah increased the disease. What is the disease? Some scholar said it is the ultimate disease, arrogant. And wallahi, I see it lately. Nobody blind without having arrogant. Because arrogant is a disease of the shaitan. The one it put him where he become. A devil. Because he was arrogant. This is why when you look in obedience, obedience denial arrogant. Obedience denial arrogant. If you look in everything we do, even look at the way we pray, we stand in a certain time, we leave everything and we run away, or we run towards Salah. Why? Obedience. And we make a status of ruku'. What do you call it in English? Like bowing, okay? Why we bow? To whom we bow? Again, humble and humility. And we prostrate to the ground. Why we prostrate to the ground? Again, humble and humility. Everything in Islam, humble and humility. Why we have to give from what Allah give us? Humble and humility. By his way, everything humble and humility. By his way, if I know who's Allah, who's the owner, who's the creator, who's the provider, who's the giver, who's the taker, who's the one who gives life, who's the one who takes life, who's the one I'm going to stand in the front of him. If I really know who's Allah, a lot of things I will not do. That's why even Allah said it in the Quran, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We did not give Allah the right respect. Imagine somebody in the corner, he was a big muscle, he said, if you go this way, I will beat you up. And you just keep walking, you will be stupid. Or you are arrogant. Or you crazy. And this is what's happening to us. Either we're stupid, the shaitan has possessed us completely, or arrogant, or we're crazy. But crazy, I have to be in a mental hospital. By this way, the right knowledge lead me to really elevate my faith. The right knowledge to remember who am I, to become humble and remember how much insignificant am I in the front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I do that, what kind of mischief I do to others? I will be, wallahi, afraid to do mischief. If you're really a real believer and fear of Allah, you would be afraid to do mischief to anybody. Even the person who do mischief to you, you will not like to do it. You do whatever you like, I will not do it. And the right knowledge of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have to come hand to hand. By this way, the right knowledge will lead you to the right understanding. What's the right understanding? The right understanding coming from Allah. Nobody can make you understand. Allah can give you a ways to open your heart and open your vision according to the status of your heart. And again, believe it or not, right understanding according to the right of humble. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَ. Whoever humble to Allah, Allah will elevate him. Wonder what's the ultimate elevation. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah want elevate somebody and give him goodness, he will give him the understanding of deen, understanding of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a cure, right? The cure is to cry to Allah. I said to people, some people do not like it. But don't forget, not everybody can cry. Because crying coming from really humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few months ago, it was Ramadan, we have a gathering. And Sheikh did a beautiful dua. A lot of people cry. Actually, everybody cried. Even young boys. Crying very hard. One young man came to me the second day and told me, excuse me, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, last night, I cannot cry. Not even a drop of tear came in my eyes. What do you think? I said, forgive me. You can ask me any question. I will try to answer you. But this particular one, I cannot answer. He said, why? Advise me. I tell him the meaning of one hadith. إِذَا جَفَّتِ الْعَيُونَ. If the eyes is dried, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مِنْ قَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. You have to know it is from the hardest of the heart. The heart become hard, like rocks. وَقَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَثْرَةُ الْمَعَاصِ. And the heart, when it can get hard, is from the amount of sins. A lot of people I meet today, they think, I'm not doing anything. Actually, the moment you say that, you're doing a lot. If the companions, they used to claim they did a lot of sins. Today you ask anybody, you doing anything? No, I'm not doing anything. This word by itself is a major sin. Once you feel you're not doing anything, because nobody cannot say that. We have to commit sins. We have to do something wrong. And otherwise, why we cannot be elevated? Something is wrong. وَقَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَثْرَةُ الْمَعَاصِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْمَعَاصِ مِنْ طُولِ الْأَمَلِ. And the major sins and the amount of sins from believing in long life. You have a long hope. وَطُولِ الْأَمَلِ مِنْ حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا. And long vision and long hope from the love of this dunya. And love of this dunya, وَحُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسَ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. And the love of this dunya, of this life, is the mother and the head of all sins. This what generates all the problem. Today, people get upset. You too much. You have no fun. I have some men sitting with me and they tell me, you do not have some fun. Some people like that. Some another men, they tell me, MashaAllah, we like you. But it's with some people like me, some people dislike me. Why? Because I do not join them in what they're doing. And they forget, we have been commanded by Allah, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. This is a verse, it makes the Prophet ﷺ become white, he have white hair. One verse in Quran makes the Prophet cry all night and he gets scared. Scared from whom? From Allah. And he's the most beloved creation to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, steadfast, and whom who with you? Today is the absence of steadfast. We do not want steadfast. We want, like Egyptians say, ala kulli lun ya batista, in every color of the clothing. We want everything. A Muslim do not have everything. We want everything, every way of life we want. But we forget. We are a servant of Allah, and we have only one way, is the way of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say sometimes, habba kida wa habba kida. Shwaya fuq wa shwaya ta. You know, some up, some down. Some like that, some like this. You only hear it from Egyptian, you know. But believe it or not, the same disease, you see it from different nations. And you know what I find out? The same sentence, different language. Some for your Rabb and some for your heart. Meaning, some for Allah and some for your desire. You find out, is this terminology coming from Allah? No. Is it coming from the Prophet? No. Who's coming from? Shaitan, our desire, the way of life, custom and habit. Again, why? The disease of loving dunya. We love to sit in a gathering talking about each other's problem and other faults. I was talking to some men a couple of days ago and I said, do you know, if you kill somebody, really kill somebody, you have one sin. Just one sin, you killed somebody. But if you backbiting person many times, like you killing the person over and over and over again. This is why Rasulullah he said, you won't eat your own brother flesh alive. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who among us would like to do that? He said, this is a person who do backbiting. A person get up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened if it is he have this quality? He said, this is a backbiting. And another person said, what about if he doesn't have it? He says, he's a lying. You have two sins. Imagine. Today, tell me, if you complain about somebody or you have a problem with somebody, why you do not go to him? Right away. If you're honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the problem? Wallahi, if we look at our life, the main problem we have is a problem between us and shaitan. This is the main problem. And the shaitan make us busy with everything else instead of us be busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, what is the topic really make me busy and get away from Allah? And we forget we have a goal, we have a duty, we have a job. We have obligation, deed. We have a lot to do. If we know what is our road, but if we lost our road, mashallah, I find everybody sitting now, he talk about if we have a shaqqa, if we have an apartment in Egypt or apartment somewhere, and if you get an apartment, what about getting another apartment in the Mediterranean or Red Sea? And if he gets another apartment, they ask, what about this and what? And it's on and on and on and on. And the majority of people I sit with them, they lost the apartment. Either the brother take it, the relative take it, the neighbor take it, the government, somebody took it. And now they worry about getting the apartment. And after they get it, they worry about saving it. And after that, they fight to how to keep it and how to bring it back. And nobody worry about how much he lost. Without mention name, one brother was sitting with them a couple of days ago, and I heard just in the back room, some brother talked about the brother. He said, I'm going to take my own brother to the court. You see, all about what? A material, again. Think about it. I do not hear about somebody said, oh, I want to go with somebody to go and reach Jannah and to get some palaces in Jannah and to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's been some time to get closer to Allah and purify my heart. Everybody worry about how, and like we talk about losing time or killing time. You see, imagine, it's a stupid sentence when you think about it. Imagine you do not want to kill anybody and you want to kill your own time. This is the most precious thing you have, is time. When the topic is good, you find the time is gone. You see? Wallahi, I didn't feel it. Half an hour? Half an hour? If we start really honest to ourselves, think about time, wallahi, we'll be crying. Shaitan is a thief. I said it many times. And the ultimate things you have is your own fikr, is your own thought, is your own state of heart. If you lose that, and he make you lose that, you finished. You finished. Because if you lose it, you lose everything you do. And this what is his job. His job, how he will let us lose our thought. Our thought. Our heart should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one of the wasiyah, one of the will of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave it to one of the companions, his name, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. He told him, he said, Awsani Khalili, my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear beloved to me, he give me a will. I give to whom who take from me, and a'ti man haramani, wa aslu man qata'ani, and I will be joined those who cut me. وَأَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ذَرَمَنِي, and I will forgive those who are oppressed me. Look at this. It's all against you, everything against yourself. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ صَمْتِي فِكْرًا. To my silent will be thinking. وَفِكْرِي عِبْرًا. And my thinking is wisdom and tadabbur, to think about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُطْقِي ذِكْرًا. And my talking is remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to one of his companions. When you think about it, the first part is all against our desire. To give those who are taking from you. And to be kind to those who are bad to you. And to forgive those who are oppressing you. Is all against yourself. And after that, he advised us about the internal status. To my thinking, my silent will be thinking. Sometimes you find people sit down and have no thinking. And you ask, you think about something, you said no. What are you doing? Nothing. And the person sits for like many, many days or many hours or anything. You planning to do something? Nothing. I do not know. It's not a status of a Muslim. A status of a Muslim always have something is going on. Either something is eating me according to what I done in the past, or something I am worrying me what I'm gaining or what I want or where I'm heading. And this brings a question of fact is,
how do you purify your soul?
How you purify your soul? Purify your soul is a lot of work. A lot of work. And start by asking yourself, is really I'm sick? Unless I said to myself, I'm sick, I cannot purify nobody. Like one scholar, he said something beautiful. He said, if I come to you and tell you, your eyes is yellow, your face is dark, you have a problem, and I start giving you many symptoms, it show up in you, you will be running and calling 911 and go to the ambulance and go to the emergency room and start checking yourself what's going on. Why? You worry about the status of your physical appearance or your physical body. But when it comes to the status of faith and the status of the heart, we take it slightly. But let's take it in here as a person really sick. Meaning I said to myself, I'm sick. Think about it. If I'm really sick, what I do? If I believe I'm really sick, if I'm honest, number one, I will go to Allah and ask, oh Allah, I'm sick, give me cure. Number two, from this life, is very simple. When you're sick, what you do? You go to the doctor. You find a doctor you respect and you trust. You tell him about your symptom and he start giving you the medication. Can you say no to the doctor? No. Whatever he gives you, you go right away, you buy it and you start taking it exactly the way he said. Today, let's pick up any Muslim and said, you have a problem. And you should do this. He said, no. By this way, the denying the problem, denying the disease, and you do not want to go to the doctor. How you can be cured? What is the doctor of the Muslim? You have a spiritual doctor, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have the main one. Without it, we cannot go anywhere, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are in the earth, and the earth is the land of reasoning, the land of cause. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teach the companion. All the Prophet and Messenger before us, he was teaching. Teaching what? Teaching how to pure the heart. How to pure the heart is the steps. You have to disengage your heart from dunya, from loving this life. You have to start giving what really upset you. Give it away. Whatever really hurt you so much, give it away. Because you do not own it anyway. But all this, what we're talking about it, it has to go through steps. Number one, you have to find somebody you trust. You explain to him what you have. And he start telling you what the steps to do. Because Islam is big. And each one of us is different. The disease of mine might be different than yours. Might be different than others. The medication should be given according to your own status. And should be somebody follow up. And you should listen and obey to what the person say. But today we do not want to submit to that. Very few people. But the moment you submit and you said, I'm sick, this is the beginning of the cure. And I have a man in here witness to that. When he came to me in Hajj and said to me, all of a sudden, he put his hand in my shoulder and tell me, I'm an ignorant person. I do not know nothing. I said, no, you are a scholar. Because the moment you said, I'm an ignorant person, this is the time Allah will elevate you. This is the time Allah will give you. And I bear witness to Allah the following day, he was looking different. Why? Once a person in the eye of Allah admitted, Allah will take his hand. And I'm sure he will bear witness to that. You see what happened to him. Allah opened the road. But why? He reached. You see? When a person reach, Allah will start giving. By this way, to purify your heart is not a magic word. Like one lady last week, I was doing a talk about Hajj, and she came to me and she sat down and she crying and said, excuse me, I have a question. With all respect to your sister, wallahi, she was a very good lady. She said, I have 5 children. I want to do Hajj. And I do not know how I do Hajj. And my heart is connected to my children. I explained to her. The problem is not the children. You can die and you leave your children. What's the problem? We do not own children. We do not own husband. We do not own a wife. We do not own nothing. After I explained to her, she cried again. She told me, okay, because I explained to her, this is meaning loving dunya. You love this life so much. You attach to everything you own or you think you're owning. She said, okay, how I give dunya away from my heart? Make dua for me. I said, excuse me, I can make dua for you. You can make dua, meaning pray to Allah. But unless you do action, action is the honesty and sincerity. Yes, number one, I call Allah. Oh Allah, open my heart. Oh Allah, let dunya out of my heart. Let me love akhirah. Let me remember death. Let me be among the people of akhirah. One of the dua, even in Hajj, one of the duas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma ja'alna min awlad al-akhirah. Allahu la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Is no living except the living of akhirah. This is not living. You wake up too much, you won't go to sleep. You eat too much, you have a heartburn. You don't eat, you're hungry. You drink too much, you have a stomach ache. You don't drink at all, you have a stomach problem. Anything, this is the life, is not the status of enjoyment. This is a journey and we're leaving. By this way, when you're absent the road, when you're absent where you're going, when you do not admit you're sick, when you do not want a cure, when you do not want a role model, when you do not want a teacher, when you do not want somebody to guide you, how you can take medication? And which medication? Can you go to the pharmacy and pick up just any medication and take it? All the medication and vitamin in the pharmacy is good, but each one is unique for certain symptoms. You need a doctor prescription and you need a good pharmacy. Both. But when we deal with Islam, we do not do that. We do not admit it. Again, why? The status of arrogant. The companion, they become companion. They called Sahaba, لأنهم صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. They were the companion of the Prophet. You see, you get certain quality according to whom you associate it with yourself with. You like it or you don't. Environment and the role model is very important. Today you sit with somebody even talking nonsense after a while, you talk nonsense. They joke, they joke. They backbiting, you backbiting. They make whatever they do, you will do the same. This is human nature. Also, you sit with certain people with certain mind and certain heart, little by little you will think about it. Little by little you will try to imitate. Little by little you will try to be like them. Little by little you will be like them. But again, sincerity, honesty. To whom? To Allah. And this is what we missing. And this is what is different between hypocrite and not hypocrite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Muslim, the real believer, they are truthful. They are sadiqeen. And the hypocrite and the disbeliever, Allah calls them a liar, kathibeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, He promised, Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Is people think they will say I'm a believer without being tried? And we give fitna to the people before them. Why? لنعلمن الذين صدقوا ونعلمن الكاذبين. To Allah know who is the truthful and who is the liar. You see, again, you will find many verses in Quran about who is the truthful, who is the liar. In every aspect of our life, Allah tests us if we really truthful or a liar. The truthful mu'min, the truthful Muslim, he returned everything to Allah and his Rasul. The hypocrite, he returned it to his own desire and what he like, or his habit, or his custom, or his parents, or the way he grew up, or his desire. But he will not return it to Allah and his messenger. How you will know? Again, you will never know unless you are truthful. Any question? Any question, Amufa? 15 minutes. No question is dangerous. Okay. No question?
Okay, how I keep the devil away from me when I make a prayer?
MashaAllah. How I keep the devil away from me when I make prayer? We talked about it before. The devil do not come to you in Salah. The devil coming to you before Salah. And if he succeed to make you busy before Salah, he get you in Salah. This why the preparation of Salah is before Salah, not during Salah. By how? Doing in dhikr. You see, shaitan coming to you in a form of what you done or what you think about it before Salah. If you think about Allah before Salah, what he will do? How he can get you in Salah? But today we're very weak. We make Salah and we think about what's going on in the kitchen, what we want to eat today, or what we like, or what we dislike, or when we go to Salah to sleep. We worry about all the material status. Again, it leads us to something very basic. What is it? Our heart is not connected to Allah. We're very far. The truth of the matter is we're very far. This is why any small wind come, we drift. And we're willing even to drop all our iman. All our faith will be dropped for a small tiny topic. Might be even have nothing to do with anything except our some waswasa.
This is the truth, wallahi. Wallahi, I see it all over. And I wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take me tonight before tomorrow. Because it's so dangerous. And nobody won't see. Nobody won't see. Why? Nobody admit he's sick. Nobody admit he wanted it to be cured. Nobody willing to study and know where's the right path. And we allow shaitan to really possess us and lead us to the wrong path. And we tell him, take it. Take us to a hellfire. And this is why we do not value a talk like that. Because if we value it, we'll think about it. We'll go mile after mile to reach it. Like Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, when the Khalifa sent him a letter of the Muslim and said, come, teach my son. Imam Malik sent him a letter. He said, oh Khalifa, whoever who you are, knowledge do not go to people, but people go to reach knowledge. You see? And even you need to come with him too. And when he came to with his son, and he saw even the small prerequisite of Imam Malik, what he did, he said, I wish I would have time to be student like my son. Today we do not value to be a student. All of us want to be a scholar. And we do not want to listen to somebody elder than us or has more knowledge than us. Only in a stupid matter, in a stupid manner, yes, we love it. We love to spend every moment, ha ha ha, hoo hoo hoo, hee hee hee, every topic. You know, we love it. But some topic like what I'm talking about is a bore. It's too much. You like to talk. You are too complicated person. Something wrong with your brain. I'm serious. I heard it from many people. You know? But this is a sign of the Day of Judgment. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, when it comes coming closer to the Day of Judgment, the one holding his deen, like who is the one who holding a piece of fire in his hand. One scholar, only 2 weeks ago, I heard something beautiful from him. He said, today, the one who holding his deen, he become paralyzed. He become in jail, even in his own environment. Because the more you know, you try to look for some people who want it. Nobody want to take the knowledge. You want to implement it with some others. You cannot implement it with some others. You cannot even implement it in the masjid. You cannot implement it in your own house. You cannot implement it anywhere. You become in jail. This is why the more you know, you want Allah to take you. Because you find out, you keep knowing, but you cannot do nothing about it. By this way, becoming a knowledge and understanding, it burning you. You want to implement it. You want to do. But the people around you, they oppress you. They push you. They do not want to be part of it. And even they look at you as something wrong with you. And this is the reality today. We are in the end, very close to the end of the Day of Judgment. We have no respect to Allah. The real love is not from Allah, for Allah. Only the love of Allah in the lips, and in the just in the edge of our lips, not even the depth of our lips. The love of Allah is not in our heart, not even in our hand. We love what we like more, but we do not love Allah. Because if I love Allah, all my goal is for Allah, to reach Allah, to be obedient to Allah. How to be servant of Allah? To drop anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To migrate with everything I have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, we're willing to migrate to everything else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the truth. Now we heard what you heard. Now you know. Now what we're going to do? This is a question. And by the way, even hearing this topic is not a magic word. But actually we should hear it often, often, all the time. Because maybe by hearing this topic, the heart will be changed. But wonder what happened. We're hearing this topic and we allow every another topic to hear. It becomes dirty. Can you mix the leftover of animal with perfume and take it and put some in your clothes? You will do that. But we do that in our heart. We mix backbiting, loving dunya, all kind of dirt and filth, and with the love of Allah. It will never be mixed. Never. This is why first we have to clean our heart from all the selfishness, the arrogance, the disease, and after that, Allah will come. And this is what the meaning shahada, by the way. The real shahada is La ilaha illallah. No one worthy of worship except Allah. And Muhammad is Rasulullah. And I bear witness is Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to embrace Islam. All of us. Today, very few people I see embrace Islam. Wallahi, very few people I see in my life embrace Islam. But the majority, Allah knows the status of Islam. Allah only knows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and give us barakah to really implement what we're hearing and implement what we're saying. And we think about it and we remember where are we going, where is our destination. Because the road is long. The destination is very beautiful and very bad. If it's Jannah, if it's paradise, we are success. And if it's hellfire, we are doomed with infinity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who go to Jannah, inshaAllah, not hellfire. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the love of dunya out of our heart and put the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of the believer in our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sincerity and give us honesty and give us the truth, give us the vision, give us light and take us the darkness and the wasawis from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercy and forgive us and make us give us tawbah. Because we need tawbah from Allah. Actually, when the scholar said we need three tawbah. First, tawbah from Allah to open our heart and our tongue to make tawbah. Because Allah first, He give you tawbah. And after that, allow you to make tawbah. And after that, He give me extra tawbah by give you allow you to do good deed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the kind of tawbah we need in this life before we die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our heart and make our heart only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this meeting a blessing meeting and a nur and light to us, to myself and all other who hear it inshaAllah, and make it us a sign and a guidance for me and other until the day of judgment inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this as a pure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزاكم الله كل خير.